Well, here a while back, we kind of started some studying on worshiping a holy God. And so we're going to look at God's holiness, God's glory. And Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, I want us to look at what holy is. Holy means set apart, cut apart, sacredness. In the Noah, I didn't like what the definition in our regular dictionary said. I do a lot of looking up words in a dictionary called Noah Webster's 1828. And it's the reason why is because the dictionaries we have today are influenced by an ungodly world. Noah Webster was a godly man, and so I use his dictionary often. And it said in his dictionary for holy, properly, whole, entire, perfect, pure in heart, free from sin and sinful affections, applied to God, perfectly pure, immaculate, and complete in moral character. Now, when you think of the word holy, and not just holy, but also you look at the name God, you look at the name Jesus Christ, and it's used in a slang sense in our day and time. And it hadn't just been recently; it's been going on for years. Who's ever watched the show way back yonder called Batman and Robin? The holy popcorn, Batman. You know, holy cow, and all of these phrases. You hear people use Jesus' name in a slang way and in vain. It's Jesus Christ, you know, when something goes wrong. And also God's name is taken in vain. And really and truly, the word holy, over a period of years, we've lost what it really, really means because of the way it's used. You know, any time you do that, you take a... Well, here, I'll pick on today's world and I'll pick on children. My three children, when I raised them, said, yes, sir. Or they said, yes, ma'am. Or they said, no, ma'am. Or they said, no, sir. I never said, hey, Jimmy, come here. Okay. Yes, sir. That's what he'd have told me. And if he hadn't have said, yes, sir, I'd have whipped his hind end. That's the reason he was saying yes, sir, because of discipline. But what, you know, we have people today, and I'm kin to some of them. I've raised one that doesn't see the need for children to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir. And But what happens, though, over a period of time, and I've watched it real big, I've really paid attention, they start losing respect for the ones in power. And believe it or not, parents are supposed to be in power. You know, I love my son, but I wasn't his best friend. My wife loved her daughters, but they weren't their best friends. It was a mother and a daughter, and a father and a son. But they lose that respect. And then over a period of time, it got to the point, and it's now more than ever, that you'll walk up to the door and a boy will bust through the door in front of a woman, never even think twice. And if I can reach out and grab their hair on their head, I'll stop them. You know, I told a woman the other day, I opened the door up for her, and she said, "Oh, no, you go ahead." I said, "Lord, my ancestors would come out of the ground, get me if I did that." You know, and I know that's not true, but it's a sign of respect, and we start losing that respect. And that's what happened. I used to watch Batman and Robin. But because of that, the way they used the name holy, I lost that, what holy really stands for. And I think as a church, we need to get back to what holy really means and how serious it is. Church history, I've done some studying on it, and really, church history revealed to me that every major revival over the years, back in the big revivals in the 19th century and the early 20th century, they revealed the fact that it was fueled by their concept, really, of holiness of God. Because they put God where He was supposed to be. I like the guy, I like his singing, he sings good. I wish I had a bass like he sings. But his name is Josh Turner, thank you. Now, I'm hoping that he had the right idea when he sang this, but he sang a song called "Me and God." And it was more like, they're just buddies. Me and God, we're just frolicking along. Listen, me and God ain't buddies. You know, God is an almighty God. God, when we look at the fact of what holy is, God is a holy God, and if you get back to what holy really is, He is sinless. He don't have any sin. He can't sin. He is perfect in all ways, and that don't mean mature. He is perfect, as we like to think. Everything's perfect. God is in that realm that we can't even fathom with our own mind. We need to get it back to that. These churches in the early church history, and they had that concept of the holy, and really and truly, their center of their ministries was around the holiness of God and how important God was. But it reflects the way that holy has been just kind of, well, it's just a word. You know, and it's getting the same way with God. It's just a word. Jesus, it's just a word. The scribes, when they would rewrite the Word of God that they had at that time, when they wrote the name Jehovah, they would use a new writing utensil, and when they were done, they would throw it away, and they would not even say the word Jehovah. Because it was that sacred and it was that holy that they you know, they had a problem with it. When you look at who God really truly is, then you see just how little you are. You know, we're just there's a guy that sings. They call themselves the Lindsay Brothers, and they're out of somewhere in Kentucky. He's a goofy guy. I love to watch him sing. But I can't even mock him. When you watch him sing, it just makes you want to, you know, But he's, man, powerful singing. He's a good, he's a very good godly man. And, you know, he sings a song that, and I can't remember the exact wording of it, but we're just a speck of dust. Not a speck of sand, a speck of dust. Dust is that little fine mist. You know, we're just a little, when you look at the whole realm of things and when you look at God, that's what really and truly, that's what we are. We're just a speck in the whole deal. Isn't it amazing that God loved us so much, though, that He sent His Son Jesus to die for us? And we're just, I don't even know how you would measure that. So, holy is an important thing. Moses experienced God's holiness in Exodus 3 right here. He experienced it. God, here's a bush burning. Moses said, I want to check this out. The bush ain't burning up. Something wrong. You know, well, if I saw that, I'd probably be like, I don't know about that. And I'm sure he didn't just run up to it. I would imagine he eased up to it to look at it, wanting, you know, hey, this is odd looking. The bush ain't burning up, but it's on fire. But then God says, Moses, Moses. You know, I can imagine hearing it coming out of that burning bush. By that time, Moses is like, whoa, we got a problem here, Houston. You know, something ain't... And then all of a sudden God says, don't draw any nigher. Don't, in other words, don't come any closer to where you're at. I believe that if Moses had have taken one more step, he'd have died. That's really what I... Because he was that close to an almighty God. And that was a presence of God's holiness. But, you know, let's go to 33... Exodus 33, verse 18. Moses here says, but now I want you to notice something, so I'm going to flip back real quick. Exodus 3 and verse 6, at the end of it, it says, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. But now let's go to Exodus 33 and verse 18. Moses says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Woo! But you know, we're going to get to that in a minute, but what a change from standing on the backside of Mount Sinai, hiding his face because he was afraid to look at God, to look at the glory, to show me your glory. You know, and so it, and really, we're going to read on here in a minute, but, well, let's go over to 34. Chapter 34 and verse 29. It says, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai. Oh, I missed it. I wrote down the wrong verse. We got to back up. Well, no, I'll just tell you instead of looking for it. Moses said, I want to see your glory. And God says, okay, I'll show it to you. But now the Bible tells us if a man ever sees God's face on this side of heaven, you're going to die. Now it's a good thing God didn't show Moses all his glory because it killed him. He wouldn't have been able to handle it. God says, I tell you what, Moses, He said, I want to put you in this little cleft of a rock, and I'm going to cover it with my hand. And as I walk by, I'll remove it, and you can see the backside of me. I'll let you see just that little glimpse through that little split in the rock. Well, God did that for him. And then we go to 34 verse 29, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tablets of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone, while he talked with them. And when Aaron and the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. Here Moses comes walking down off the mountain. He's carrying the two tablets with the Ten Commandments, is what we call them. And he is shining so bright that they're afraid. And when you read on it, they couldn't even look at him. It was so bright. Just by getting that little glimpse of the backside of God as he walked past the rock. You know, that's like, wow. Just that little, and Moses had to build a veil. They had to make a veil and put it over his face so he could meet with the people and talk to him, because couldn't nobody get near him because he was just glowing. Man, that's that's just unreal. You know, the result of what he saw was just amazing. But now, I said, notice in chapter 3 that he was afraid to see God's glory. But later he asked to see God's glory. Why is that? You see, Hebrews 10:31 tells us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But if you read before that, it's because we're not living the way we ought to. My dad loved me, still loves me. Don't blame me. I look just like him, everybody says. I'd walk in my sister's house and she thinks it's dad for a minute, and then she realizes, oh no. But anyway, he loves me and would never do nothing to harm me. Although I thought sometimes he did. But as long as I was doing what Dad said, as long as I was saying, yes, sir, Dad, no, sir, Dad, as long as I was staying in my boundaries, me and Dad got along good. I didn't have that fear of him. I had that respect for him, that I wanted to be like him, and I wanted to be near him. But now, when I messed up, man, I knew what was coming. I call it the fireman belt. He wore a belt when he was at the fire department, and I remember it more then than later, but man, he'd undo that dude, and man, he'd be coming through the belt loops in a hurry. I didn't like that. And that's when I thought, you know, my dad really wants to hurt me. But I realized it was for my good, and it was. But what I want to get to the point is that I had a respectful fear of my dad. I feared him when I was messing up. When I wasn't messing up, I wanted to be close to him. I wanted to be near him. You see, Moses, when he first approached God, he didn't realize really, he knew who God was, but he didn't. And he didn't have no kind of a relationship with God. But then later in years, you'll find, as we read in 33:18, show me your glory. I want to see your glory, God. Well, he'd already saw the burning bush and heard a voice speaking out of it. And he was scared. Well, now all of a sudden he's not scared of God, because he realized, hey, God loved him. God had taken care of him for all these years. And God, listen, wants nothing but good for his children. And he built a relationship with God. I mean, Moses was all but face to face with God. He was called the friend of God, wasn't he? Or is that Abraham? That's Abraham. Moses walked up on the mountain, sat down, and the finger of God wrote the tablets on the tablets. I mean, he was right there. And then God covered the crack in the rock. See, he had built a relationship with him to the point he says, hey, God, I want to see your glory. I want to know. I want to see it. You know, and so we need to... really, now I'm going to go through this, and it's going to take several weeks, but we're going to look at some other people. There's Job, there's Isaiah, there's the Apostle Paul. We're going to go through people that have realized the holiness of God. And really, I've been studying three major things lately. Relationship with God, prayer, and His holiness. Because I want to know more about it. Because like I said, when I look at holy, it's like, okay, He's a holy God because the Bible said so. But no, He's a holy God because of who He is. He's perfect. He's well, I can't even get it in my mind all about God. You know, God sees everything, knows everything. I have a hard time with that. You know, He sees everything, knows everything. He's in control of everything. You know, and so I want us to really be concentrating on that. Think about what holy really means. When we come to church, we come to church to what? To worship God. To worship a holy God. So, how should our hearts be when we come to worship a holy God? We need to be looking at the fact that, you know what? God is a holy God, which, go back to what holy really means. And it helps get it in a whole different perspective. And then we start seeing things a whole lot different. Now, I'll mention this several times throughout when I'm talking about this, but we're set aside. We're supposed to be a holy people. Well, guess what? That same holy that God is, we're supposed to be. Boy, that a lot of room for improvement, ain't it? Man, we got a long way to go. Will we ever reach that state of being sinless? Not on this side of heaven. We can get close, but we're not going to get there. But when we get to heaven, we will be. Let's stand. We'll have an invitation.